Hospitality. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and I've got Dana Bear with me.
Sometimes I'm with you. Sometimes I'm not with you.
Just slightly behind me.
Yeah, I'm here.
But we are both here in front of you this morning.
We're very hospitable, but I'm more hospitable when I've had a lot of coffee, and I'm just getting through the beginning of my second cup, so give me 10 minutes and then I'll be good.
And welcome to the Southern Hospitality Show. It is June 13th, 2012, and this show is featuring Bold American Events. With us this morning in the studio, we've got Chef Todd Annis and Sales Manager Megan Wentz from Bold American Events. Welcome to the studio, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So give us the skinny on the background, Bold American. What's the full concept?
Basically, Bold American started as a restaurant. So it started at South City Kitchen. It was a small restaurant at first. They did really, really well. They got a lot of requests to open further restaurants and to do catering and off-site stuff like that. So basically, after 2 years of just being that small little restaurant in the house right there on where
Crescent Avenue is,
they decided that they would open another restaurant and a small catering company.
Okay.
And so that's where Bold American – originally it was called Bold American Food Company, and it was an outshoot of South City Kitchen. And then they opened a food studio in the same King Plow Arts Center. So they found this really kind of artsy, cool kind of Southern Plow company that they've turned into a kitchen and a restaurant and all these crazy things. Both the food studio and Bold American Catering did really, really well. So it has turned in now into Fifth Group, which is all the different restaurants we have. And we've grown from about a $2 million catering company that was 11 years ago to about a $7 million company now. So
wow.
We're almost outgrowing the original space.
Wow.
So that's what we're doing now.
That is really exciting. Now, is all of the food different in each of the unique venues that you've got? And how do you determine what to tackle next?
Well, basically what happened is we started, because we were associated with, obviously, with South City, one of the things that we did was cater to a lot of the southern type of food, fried green tomatoes, fried chicken, those type of things.
Right.
But as we grew and the restaurant companies grew, it became all different types of concepts. So we have El Taco, that's more of a Southern. We have Alma, that's more a South American type of thing. We have Echo, so that's Mediterranean. So the catering company basically does all different kinds of stuff now. So we have to kind of be knowledgeable enough to handle all the restaurant concepts plus anything additional that anybody would ask for. You know, what we try and do is, like, we don't even – like to talk about catering. We like to talk about, we have a restaurant, it's just our restaurant's on wheels.
Okay.
So we bring our restaurant to you versus having a catering company. So it's all very specific. All the stuff that Megan does and the sales team does is all specific to each client. We customize all menus, so there's no like guide that you have to pick menus A, B, and C or something like that. We don't do any of that. So it's all what they want. A lot of times we'll do stations where we have a South City Kitchen station.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And then we have one from Echo. So they kind of get a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, they can try almost all the restaurant groups and different stuff from each place, which that's a very popular one. People love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if someone comes to you through one of the restaurants and says, you know, I love Echo or whatever, but, you know, so I want to have some of that as part of my event, you guys obviously are equipped to handle that.
Oh, you can certainly do anything off their menu, especially the fried goat cheese balls from Echo.
Oh, my God. Those things are sinful. Yeah.
We do a lot of fried goat cheese, a lot of fried chicken.
It's so funny when people are doing events, because then it's like they're free to like pig out and have all the, you know, fattening, delicious, yummy, fried, whatever. Mm. So what kinds of events do you guys mostly do? Is there is it corporate events? Is it weddings? Is it a little bit of everything?
It's about 50-50 right now, corporate to social. So weddings, bar mitzvahs, corporate holiday parties, any kind of team building events for different corporate companies, really anything you could imagine.
We'll always do dinner, or is there lunch and brunch and all kinds of things?
Mostly dinners and receptions, but we do a lot of lunches as well.
Okay. And I'm taking over, Elizabeth. Sorry. Maybe I had more caffeine than I thought.
Now that we've started talking about food.
I know. I always get excited.
More interesting.
She said fried goat cheese balls, and that was it.
I haven't eaten a single thing today either. It's
so you're
going to more hungry.
Exactly. So is there a particular size event that's your sweet spot in terms of the number of guests?
We usually like to do around 200 people. That's probably the best. But we've done catering for four. And last week we did catering for 900. So it can be any, I guess anywhere between 4 and like 2,000 is really where we are. So it really doesn't matter. We have the staff and the facility to handle all those things. Obviously, it's when you're doing 4 people, it's different than 800. But it doesn't affect us. However many people, but 200 is usually our average, I would say.
And you guys provide not only the food, but the staff and all of that.
We do. Yes, we do the food. We do the staff. We do bartenders. We also do. We have a whole section of Bold American Events that does the decor. So our own florals, our own design group, all those guys too. So we can do everything from soup to nuts.
Wow,
nice full event management.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's fantastic. Now, what about the style of the service? Is it like a buffet or seated? Can you do seated service?
Yes, we do. We love seated service. Probably was one of our favorite because that's more of a plate up, what we term as a plate up type of thing, which is what you would see if you went to a restaurant. So if you sat down at a standard fifth group restaurant, you'd order an appetizer or salad and that would come out, and then you'd have an entree and that would come out. So that's kind of one of our favorites because we can really kind of showcase that way. But at the same time, we do a lot of buffets, a lot of different stations. Right now we're working on a new concept about how to change the traditional buffet that people go to and change that into a different way of how people look at things. So we're spending we have a trip coming up to Walt Disney to go see kind of how that theme park works compared to other theme parks. If you're here at Six Flags, no offense to Six Flags, but you wait – you wait in the little lines and it takes forever to get to the ride type of thing. And that's one of the things that we saw that we're trying to eliminate. And we've been to multiple different events with multiple different catering companies. And
there's always a line.
There's always a line.
It's so frustrating.
Sure.
So and that's fine. And the problem is what happens is people come to expect that.
That's
so the
funny.
Expectation is that you just
that's what
stand
you
in line.
I was at an event the other night and it was I can't even say it was catered because it was really, lowbrow. So I'm not even going to try to compare it to anything that you would do. However, I was sitting at a table of – it was an awards banquet. I was sitting at a table of 10 people or something, and most of us got up and got in line, and we stood there. And whatever, we socialized in line. It was fine. But – and we got our very, very sad plate of food. And we came back to the table, and there was one guy at the table. I have to tell you, this was like a community theater group, so everybody's a little over the top.
So it's drama.
Of course.
Yes.
And so the one actor at my table was like, ha-ha, I waited till there was no line. And he, went out. He waited. And he just sat at the table and waited instead of waiting in the line. But he was so proud of himself that he was able to go up and get his food without waiting in the 20-minute line.
Yeah,
so
see, that's exactly.
Exactly.
Right. So those are the type of things. So we're trying to be super creative and take a look at things, from a big picture standpoint and say, how do we do something that can incorporate while people are standing in line things that are going on with the event, whether that's extra stations, so we're creating these 6-foot kind of cabinets that go on the side that have menus on them and decor and past hors d'oeuvres and chocolate truffles at the end. So even though the buffet is a table, you still have 12 feet of interactive activity as you're waiting in line and doing stuff, and which means you can still socialize and have a cocktail and all those type of things, but it gives you something to do. It gives them something to do. It's going to show them that the time that they're there is going to feel like it's not very long. When you're just standing in a regular line.
Yeah.
Right. That's the psychology of it.
Correct.
If you feel like you've got something else to do. Innovating the line.
I know. I love that.
The buffet. Right. This is fantastic.
I know. I'm going
stuff.
If you can figure that out, I need you to come back and explain how you did it because,
I got to figure that out first.
Yeah.
As soon as I do, I will.
Yeah,
if it's
back.
A failure, I won't be back. If it works.
That's fair.
I'd love to.
The stations definitely help with that because then you have people spreading out. It's not one
right.
Line.
We do that too. Correct.
Yeah. That definitely helps. But it's still, then there's still usually a little bit of a queue at each station. And then the popular one will have the big queue. you know, usually that's like what the sliced meat or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
People,
and so
people are
so
people are so weird about that. It's like, oh, beef, that's more expensive. I got to get in line for that.
Yeah. You know? Same, yeah. Same thing with the seafood. Yeah.
Yeah. Shrimp. I have to get in line. Right.
Yeah. It's just
so funny.
But we get a lot of strange requests though. I mean, I'd wish we'd, well, I don't wish, but we don't do a whole lot of normal stuff. The other day we had a request. We have a wedding coming up and it's, you know, it's a couple that's one's from like Central Africa,
yeah,
and the other one's from Thailand. So they want to incorporate Thai food and Central African food, but they also want to nod to the South. So it becomes very difficult for the chefs in the kitchen to figure out, okay, how is that all that going to work together, or does it even need to work together? Should we do completely different stations and all that type of stuff? And the good thing is the sales team will have them come in, especially in a case like this. We talk to them and say, what are you looking for when you say Central African food? What does that mean to you?
Right.
You know, those type of things. So we get to do some really cool, fun stuff, which is awesome.
Now, if somebody were to bring like an old family recipe or something like that, that they really wanted to have at their event, is that something that you could do?
Yes. We do that. It's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
That is the absolute worst case scenario. Because no matter what I do or the chefs that we have there do, it's not going to be the same as grandma's. So I always give them a disclaimer about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll do the best we can. I've actually had people's grandmother come into the kitchen and work with us just to make just to make sure.
That's cute.
Which is awesome because then we learn. It's very cultural when that happens because they come in and say, I learned this from my great grandfather and we were from wherever. And it's just the chefs love it. We love it talking to them. And then they feel like they're like, you know, on Food Network for a day. So they love coming into a big kitchen and teaching all these big bad chefs exactly how to do.
That's cute.
What
you should film
best.
That. That'd be a cute
one. I would love, yeah, we thought of that.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Like and the couple or whoever's event it is would probably love to have that as a little, you know, take home.
Yeah, definitely have to be on cable, though.
YouTube. There's always YouTube.
Something like that.
No worries. There's always
it is a working kitchen. Yeah.
That's true. In this day and age, there's plenty of place for content, you know?
Yes.
No shortage of places to put video.
Yep.
You know.
Now, with having all these different restaurants, I know the chefs at each of them are always innovating and, you know, coming up with new specials to add to the menu. When John Baskell was here with Alma, he was talking about, you know, how they look at innovative dishes on the menu. Does Bold American then get to pull from all of the innovations that's happening within each of the individual restaurants?
Yeah, we work with the other restaurants and the chefs pretty closely. So and we get a lot of crossover business. So there's times we do weddings, you know, for 200 and people say, oh, what kind of catering company is this? And we explain where we're from and Fifth Group. And they'll be like, oh, I've always loved South City Kitchen. I didn't know you had Echo or whatever. So then they'll go over there or vice versa. We'll have clients who go in every week to Echo and then they'll have a special function and then they'll use us and say, this is what we want to do. But we've done that multiple times. Somebody will have a special somewhere, even if it's a special, and say, hey, we want this added to our, you know, menu for whatever reason. And we usually just shoot an email or call the other chefs and say, here's what's going on. And that we share recipes and techniques and all that kind of stuff.
And then Todd also comes up with like monthly specials that we put on kind of a specials board, if you will, in the sales office to just try and incorporate some new ideas and menu items that, you know, are new and fresh for
people.
So sort of tempt people to when they come in the office and they go, oh, that sounds really yummy.
Right, exactly. And also for us, for the catering, it's a little different because even though we want to be a restaurant like all the restaurants, the difference is we have a visual aspect that we have to do. It's not just the plate. Because we're going to different venues, and a lot of venues are, you know, they have a look, but it's very usually plain so that whatever group is coming in can set that up. So what we try and do is when we do our specials, you know, for the sales team, it is designed around here's going to be the look at it, the look of how the whole table looks, the whole, you know, like I was saying before, how we're going to incorporate if there's lines, what we're going to add to that to, you know, reduce the – you know, the psychology of waiting in line, or here's some new vessels that we're using, you know, La Crusade stuff, and like try and do something really fun with that. And here, and this is what works in it food wise. So it's kind of a one step further than just actually doing a plate, and then that's going to be the special. Because you always, at a restaurant, it's the plates are the plates, and the restaurant is the decor. So,
right.
it's kind of that way. We have to kind of work our way around that by doing the special foods, but also incorporating all the other bells and whistles that need to go with it.
Right. The vessels that's in, the decor that's on the buffet or the station, that's all, you know, considered for each different type of cuisine.
Right. It's like kind of like creating a restaurant for the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Are there any specific like trends that are really hot right now? I know I'm going to totally date myself right now. I hate when I do that. But back in the day when I got married in the early 90s, there wasn't like people weren't doing like dessert bars and, you know, like
chocolate fountain.
Maybe they were doing a chocolate fountain. That was about it. And that was only like if you were. I was about to be so obnoxious. I was going to be like if you were, you know, like a mafia wife or something. But, you know,
Yes, or born to prom.
Not to stereotype. Right. Or right. But right. Exactly. Well, I got married in Philadelphia. So I knew some of those people personally. In fact, if you need to need any connections, let me know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been to, first of all, I imagine with all of the TV programming nowadays about weddings and events and things like that, people are getting all kinds of crazy ideas that they're seeing on TV. But then also just over the years, there are new trends, right? Is there anything that's like super hot right now?
Well, there's a couple of different things. Like one of the things I'm working on, like I said, with those buffet lines and things like that, is that the goal is that that becomes the trend, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, okay, let's look at things in a different way and say, how do we fix some of these problems? So that's a trend. Right now, some of the trends that are happening that are you're going to see that will affect, you know, in the upcoming 6 to 10 months with holidays and everything is things like dry ice, using a lot of dry ice and different things, not only for decor but to keep food cold. Desserts are huge. I guess a couple years ago there was the cupcake craze kind of took off.
Right.
It's almost like the burger craze is now. Like there's a burger place everywhere. Yeah, sliders, which we've done forever. But now it's kind of like I've talked to the pastry chef and Haley and I have been working. She's got like a Twinkie bar now. So we do all our homemade Twinkies.
Oh my God.
And we change them. So there's red velvet Twinkies. There's dark chocolate, mint Twinkies.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, we should have brought some.
Yeah. You really should have brought some.
So next time, I promise. But like things like that, that take a twist on, you know, like it's almost like, the mashed potato bar is another one that used to happen in like 1980.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, we still get requests from that. Most of it's people from Jersey, though, really.
Well, I'm telling you.
Yeah. But taking something like that and say, okay, that's great. What do we? What's something we use differently? So we can do one that's more of a southern, like with Alma. It would, you know, we do the same type of thing, but we do like mashed yuca and malanga root and things like that. So people get to try something really unique and different, but it's kind of set up the same way.
Yeah.
Or we do it with risotto. That's more of an Italian version. You know, so it's taking those same trends and kind of putting a spin on them. So we do a lot of those. So you see a lot of that stuff. The dessert ones are good. A lot of things now, too, is I guess a couple years ago, everything used to be people wanted to see buffets that were very bountiful and full. And that was kind of like a sign of,
wealth.
You know, wealth. And now everything is becoming more streamlined and very like we do a lot of desserts on little popsicle sticks and things, and they're lined up in containers that look like plant pots, but it has colored sugar in it. So everything is like neat and clean and organized, and it's really concentrates on the quality of food and how it looks and the presentation of things.
Right.
So that's become popular. And then what's finally catching on into the catering world is local, sustainable,
good,
organic. Yes, because the restaurants have been doing it for a while, just in this city. And, of course, in California, they've been doing it since the 70s. But it takes a while to get to the East Coast, especially in the South.
Yeah.
So finally, we're getting some of that stuff going. And so we use a lot of local sustainable stuff and try and utilize that and our menus in general. And then we get requests for certain people have certain items that they want.
Yeah. Interesting. This is making me so hungry. Oh my God. I'm like, maybe I should get married again just so I can have you guys cater.
Vows.
Do that. And you still get
divorced.
Another honeymoon.
I left that husband back in Philly.
Well, we can find you another one.
Long time ago. It's all good. But so talk about a little bit about the different event spaces. Have you been in any place that just was like horrendous or super challenging and you were just like, I can't believe these people picked this space and why do we have to work here? You don't have to name the people or the space, just like what was wrong with it or, you know.
The answer is yes.
You've been in some crazy places.
Yes.
From a
gotten
kitchen?
Gotten a couple curveballs. Okay.
Yes. No, sometimes it's really bad.
Yeah.
And that can be fun and challenging.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really bad and it's just no fun. Yeah. It's just no fun. But, you know, you can't name certain venues. I mean, we have certain venues that are awesome and they're super easy to work in.
Yeah.
And they're great from a kitchen standpoint. Then you have other venues that are super cool to get married in and they look good, but there's no setup.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, we did a 150-person plate up. And it was for somebody at their home, and they had built a brand new house, and they had a brand new pool and tennis court and everything they did. But because it was brand new, they didn't want anybody in the house.
Okay.
Which is fine. So they did it on the tennis court. They set up, we tented it, and they set up on the tennis court, but we couldn't use the garage or anything. So we set up in the woods did a 5-course plated dinner.
Wow.
In the dark in the woods.
Nice.
So, which a lot of people will complain about, but we had a blast doing it because it's like that's almost impossible. And how much of a challenge is that? And they love it. It ended up being great.
That's really
cool. So we had a really good time.
People always think private homes are going to be the easiest place to have an event, and they usually are the most challenging. When Todd talked about earlier how we're a restaurant on wheels, so we'll bring portable ovens, burners, and everything that we need to actually cook the food on site. So in homes, we'll do it in garages. Well, then, you know, you have like 6 flights of stairs to walk up that are so steep and the dog's biting your ankles. You know, we can certainly do that.
Yes, we bring dog treats now to this.
Nice.
That has really helped us out.
That's awesome. Otherwise, they're like up on the counter eating the actual food for the event.
Yes, we actually have done events for dogs.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
I did a dinner party for a group of canines.
What did you make?
We did about 4 courses. I realized that they don't like celery or asparagus.
Okay.
They do like peanut butter.
Yes, they love peanut butter.
I knew I was good with the protein part of it, but it was the salad course that was really throwing me off. Like peanut butter dressing, they'll eat that.
Oh,
they
my
did.
God.
Most of them spit out the celery though. The good thing is they never complain. It's a great it's a great group.
They don't send it back.
No, they don't send it back. They don't do anything. But we draw the line at canines. I'm not doing cats.
A
little more finicky.
I think that is the first time someone said something on one of these shows that I actually have almost no response to. Catering for dogs. Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It's crazy what people ask.
I was going to say, who paid for that? What kind of person was that?
Dog lovers. They had a birthday. It was a birthday party for their dog, and they invited all the neighborhood dogs friends. I guess they get together a lot, so the dogs apparently knew each other.
That puts my dog's first birthday party to shame.
Yeah, my dog's like 6 or 7. He still has never had a birthday party. Did the people eat too, or just the dogs?
Yes, we did. We did dinner for them and dinner for the dog.
Human
we even
and dog
yeah,
combo.
Yeah. And we had decor company come in. They set up a small table like on the floor. Seriously, on the ground. They had silverware and little bowls, dog bowls that we made for their water and specialty
all
drinks.
Right. I'm just going to make a bold, because of you guys, bold. I'm going to go with the word bold. I'm going to make a bold statement right now. I hope, Todd, to someday have enough money to do something like that. And I hope that when I have that kind of money, I don't do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's my statement for the day. There, I've said it.
Now, Megan, when you're working with corporations to help them customize an event, tell us about that process that you go through to understand their needs and then create something that's going to make a memorable event.
I usually start with whomever is planning the event to just try and get a little bit more background. If they've done the event in the past, what's worked well for them, you know, what exactly they're imagining the event to be. And then
they typically have imagined like
sometimes
in mind.
Sometimes where the event's taking place, the timing and the demographics of the group really help. If you know that's all they can give me, that's great. Then I'll just kind of come up with something on my own and go from there, and customize a menu for them. You know, of course, the type of year will also help with that. So usually kind of start off by doing a first proposal and send it to the client. I might, you know, sometimes I often do 3 different proposals, sometimes at 3 different price points. A lot of times with corporations, they don't give you, you know, I'll ask for some type of budget. And, you know, they haven't been given the budget or they don't want to share that. So usually go in with 3 different price points and 3 different, you know, style menus. That usually helps. And then when they get back to me on which ones they like, which things they don't like, it gives me a better idea of, you know, what they're really looking for, and then kind of go back and forth tweaking the menu You know, if they need to come in for a tasting, we certainly can do that and kind of go from there.
Nice. Now, do you have a lot of repeat customers that you guys are their regular preferred caterer?
We do.
And they're calling you on
those are the best clients.
Of course.
How do people find out about Bold American? How do they know you're out there in existence?
Through the restaurants helps. And then really just putting ourselves out there. People attending an event that's catered by Bold.
Google helps.
Yeah.
Google. We're on that first page. Google.
So for people who are listening to this fabulous interview, what's the website if they are looking to get in touch with you?
It is.
They want to bypass Google and go direct.
That's right.
It is boldamerican.com.
That's easy.
Yep.
Easy breezy.
Yeah. And do you find that people come to you often before they've chosen a date or a venue, or is it that they choose their date and they know where and then they're just looking for a caterer to fill the bill?
I would say most already know where they're going and have a date.
Okay.
Those are kind of the first things. Usually there's times that the catering part is probably last, where they know
so
exactly
funny,
what they knew a photographer and
yeah,
they know
right.
all that stuff
Speaker,
and the venue they
the
want to go to.
The...
And then it's a matter of finding.
Well, we got to feed them too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, then there's, you know, there's other clients that, you know, I've worked with in the past for, you know, for instance, a holiday party. And they know they want to do it on, you know, Saturday the 15th, but they don't know where. So I'll help them, you know, besides just helping with catering, I'll help them find the venue. I'll contact the venues to see if it's available and what dates, set up a walkthrough for them. So, you know, we're certainly happy to help with that. But for the most part, they do have a date and venue.
It's so funny because for me, listening to you guys, that might be a function of just where I'm at in my life and age. But to me, like, the food is probably the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because rarely do, I mean, I guess if it's a beautiful venue, people do recall that, but certainly I would be willing to move my date to get the better caterer. You know what I mean? And so like sitting here listening to like the descriptions of all the food you just talked about, I'd be like calling you guys going like, all right, I know I want to have a party sometime next year.
Right.
What
exactly.
do you got?
Well, that's exactly what we want. We want people just like you to do that.
Yes. So again, boldamerican.com.
And then same thing with the venues. I mean, a lot of times for corporate, they're looking at size too. So it depends how large the companies are. So if you have 800 people coming to an event, there's not too many spaces
right.
available.
That Peachtree, we could do it here.
Right.
That's right.
That hold that many. So you got to look around. And then especially around Christmas time, like
Meg
was saying, it gets booked. Everything gets booked very, very quickly. So it's hard to.
So that's a question for you guys. I mean, how far in advance do people really need to book with you? Like, are you guys just like already booked up through? Like, where are we now? We're in
June.
It's
wedding season now,
right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Like, if someone calls you and needs a last minute event, is that possible? Or
absolutely, it's possible.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we can still do that. The corporate wise, what books up is Christmas parties.
Sure.
So they're good on those dates.
They want those two Saturdays.
Yeah. And then obviously for weddings, it's, you know, they book up pretty quickly because they're pretty far out. But then everyday business, we have a lot that comes in. It's like for next week, they'll call today and say, I need something Monday. So it happens frequently.
Is it cheaper on different days of the week, or is that just like, is that more like a location-y type thing? Like,
yeah, it's a location. It's a venue thing. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Venues want to fill Monday through Thursday.
Right.
So usually cheaper on that day, but not too many people get married on Tuesday.
How about
so
that? Like, I'm getting married on Monday. Everyone, please, you know, quit your job and
fly. How fun would that be?
Yeah. is there anything else that you guys that really makes you guys stand out from other caterers when someone's looking that you can just point to? Is it because of the relationship to Fifth Group, or is there some specific something that just – puts you above everyone else? And
well, yeah, there's all kinds of things.
Well, but, aside from you two, of course.
Of course, I'm going to say that. Yeah, first, it's the two of us. That's
right.
The most important thing. No.
Done.
No, one of the – I guess a big one is the one you mentioned is we are part of Fifth Group. So we got six restaurants, you know, paired with us. So already we have – I mean, our R&D ability to get out there and try different things and do different things is fantastic compared to – some of our main competitors.
Sure.
Now,
right, and get daily feedback from people that are eating
in the restaurant.
All the time.
Correct. So that's a huge one. You know, part of it, we have our own venue space at King Plow, so that's really cool. And that's a lot of the caterers don't have that, and so we're working right there. It's right in the same building, so that makes it almost like a real restaurant. So that really helps us out. Basically, how we, I think the culture of how we decide that we're going to do catering as more of a restaurant coming to your venue or to your home than we don't use chafing dishes. We don't put out like normal. I would say we're not normal, and that's kind of what makes us stand out the most.
I love that. We're not normal either.
Yes.
Well, so we all
start
to
the top. It's my fault, really. I'm not normal at all.
That's excellent.
Normal's way overrated.
It is.
So overrated. It is. Yeah, normal's boring.
So how do you like King Plow? It's a great location.
As far as like the community, it's awesome. It's filled with mostly artists. So
right.
There, you know, that's the art gallery there. They have
we've had artists on from that yeah. have galleries over there.
Yep, photographers, the haircutting school. You know, there's a computer company now that does apps for iPhones. They come up with all like the new Angry Bird type of stuff. So it's all the whole community is very creative and kind of artsy driven.
Yeah.
There's little things about it that we don't like, you know, parking's become a pain in the butt now over there.
Right.
You know, 7 years ago, there wasn't that issue. And now it's becoming kind of the spot to be. So a lot of different things are happening over there, which is great for them and great for the community. It's just we're starting to – and we've become larger. And so we're starting
growing
to
pretty quickly.
Yes, starting to outgrow. Fifth Group itself is starting to outgrow because they're doing a lot of good things.
So you must have some big plans on the horizon. Anything you can share about what the business is going to look like in another year or two?
Well, we're hoping in another year. We're hoping in about a year and a half to 2 years that we really take a look at the space that we have. It could be, depending on what King Plow has, because there's a lot of different units there too. So
right.
It's do we expand there and maybe take over a couple more spots there and move some stuff in there? Or do we find something across the street, a Puritan Mill or a bigger company or a bigger building? And how do we formulate all that? But that's kind of the goal now. The goal is to say, okay, well, you know, if we're doing around 7 then and we want to do 10, what do we need to do structurally to make that happen? So there's a lot of fun things coming up with to look and see what's going on with that and trucks and refrigeration and all kinds of
loading dock,
loading dock, crazy,
fun.
Even a loading dock would be nice.
So the wedding season is getting booked up. So everybody who's listening, if this sounds good, you better give them a call pretty soon.
It's only schedule. 6 months away from the holiday season.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Wedding too late.
People are planning their Christmas
too late.
Unless you want a fall wedding, yes. You might get
the holiday inquiries are starting to flow in.
Yeah.
I mean, King Plow's already booked for 2 of the Saturdays, the biggest Saturdays.
That's amazing.
One of the Fridays. And I was, you know, at a networking event last night with a few other venue people, and you know, their venues are filling up fast. So
it's really time to start booking for your holiday,
especially with large groups.
Yeah,
I mean, we're way far out. Like next year is the Final Four is here.
Oh wow!
And we already have stuff booked for that.
Amazing.
So it's like that's way far away.
Well, I guess people for weddings too usually book in a year out, right? They're starting to look in, you know, year to 9 months out. They're starting to try to get things on their checklist.
Yeah,
and you get that ride that calls for 2016.
Wow.
That's,
yeah, they're going to be broken.
That's,
after
one
that's
confidence.
Good date.
Yeah,
that's say, confidence.
Like, I appreciate that they're planning, but they will not be back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've also had weddings that pop up for like next month. They're like in 3 weeks. You're like, oh, okay.
Shotgun. Yeah.
Right.
We'll do that one too.
Is your dress going to be let out? What's going on? All right. Well, great. I really wish I had an event to plan right now. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I know. I definitely am looking for an excuse to do some tasting.
I know. I've always said, like, if I ever get married again, it's going to be like eloping to Vegas or something. But now I'm like, maybe I can come back and have a little party.
Yeah. An after party
do both.
Here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do the after party. There We've done several of those.
Yeah, that would be way more fun. It's all about the food, you know.
Forget food and booze.
That's right. Maybe I just have a party. I don't even need a husband.
Right.
I'm here. Exactly. I'm not
that's
getting married party.
You have a dog, so that's good.
I'm very
throw that party.
I could bring some dogs.
There's always a reason for a party.
Right.
And if you are looking to plan one, make sure you call Bold American Events. We're talking with Chef Todd Annis and Megan Wentz from Bold American Events on Southern Hospitality. And once again, that website is boldamerican.com. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us this morning, guys.
No problem at all.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
It was great to get to know you.
Yes.
And we'd love to have you back on sometime.
Especially when you figure out the buffet line
thing. Yeah, we'll be back.
And when we'll bring Twinkies next time.
Yes. Okay, well, then you're definitely coming back.
Excellent. We'll book that one in advance. All right. We will talk to you very soon. This is Elizabeth Gordon with
Dana Barrett.
And we thank you for tuning in to Southern Hospitality on BusinessRadioX.com. Have a great day.